Acts 2, beginning with verse 42, tells us from the NIV, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, we ask you right now that you will bring down your spirit on us this morning, that you will cover us with your blessing and your mercy. God, this morning I pray that the words that we hear will not be coming from me, but they will be coming from you. So God, we give you this portion of our service, and we thank you now for what you're going to do for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Take a look at this morning. Dear God, I have a problem. And it's me. Okay? Now, this is not going to be an open forum for criticism, but it is going to be something that we're going to look at this morning about the way we should, according to the Word of God, take care of each other, do our spiritual work, do our work, and help each other out. So we're going to say this together. When we get to the two words that say, it's me, that needs to be really, really loud, because I don't want to be the only one telling God that I'm the problem, okay? All right, here we go. Dear God, I have a problem. It's me. Thank you. All right. As I was preparing this, I preached this sermon a couple of times in the past. And one of the things that I was reminded of this week, 2 years ago yesterday, one of my best friends in the world passed away of cancer. And this particular passage that I didn't know when we were getting to know each other and everything was one of his favorite passages, because it describes what a church and a family should look like. So we're going to look at some characteristics this morning of the Christian life. And you can also kind of take out the word Christian and put in family. Okay? So here we go. The very first one, the church or a family is a place where a whole lot of devotion takes place. Okay? A whole lot of devotion. And that would be a devotion in the faith, which is the essence of our salvation. A devotion in our faith, which is the essence of our salvation. The second thing here about devotion is devotion in hope. Okay? And that hope that we have is found in Jesus Christ. Another one is a devotion in love. If we don't love God, we can't love each other. If we're not loving each other, then maybe we're not loving God as much as we should. Dear God, I have a problem, and it's me. I saw this on a church sign this past week, and I thought, ooh, yeah, it's me. Might be you. I don't know. We're not going to judge today. But what I want us to remember is everything that we do here in our homes, in our communities, at work and everything, is directly related to our relationship with Jesus Christ. The second thing here, another characteristic, is there's a whole lot of feasting taking place. Now, we all enjoy eating. Amen? Okay. All right. But this feasting right here is the spiritual feasting, where we are teaching about God and we are equipping for God. Okay? Everything that we do here, our small groups, our Sunday school, youth group, children's ministry, adult ministry, praise band, choir, everything that we do is about teaching about God and then equipping each other to go out and do what we need to do. just like in the family. Everything that we teach our children, we hope is preparing them to become adults. Everything we do with the rec teams that we coach and everything, we hope that it is, yes, we're teaching the game, but at the same time, we're trying to teach life lessons. I told our baseball team at Hanahan this week that the practices and everything that they go through each day in order to prepare for the game is great, and they need to work hard at that. But at the same time, some of the coaches are trying to not only teach them baseball and the basic fundamentals, but they're also trying to teach them life lessons that will carry them farther than the baseball field or farther than the football field. Everything that we do is preparing our kids and preparing our teams to go that extra mile. And on a side note, Friday night, they played at Stahl, and we won. And as we were leaving, one of the players came up to me, and I had had a bad couple of weeks and thinking that no one was listening to what we were saying and teaching and everything. And because sometimes students will look at you with this look on their face like, what are you talking about? Well, one of the guys came up to me, and he had gotten in trouble the day before at practice. And he came up to me, and he said, what plans do you have after the game? And I said, well, we're just going to dinner. And he says, well, do you mind meeting me on the baseball field after we get back to school? And I'm like, no. I didn't know if he was going to tell me he was going to quit or whatever. And he says, well, he said, I am finally ready to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I said, okay. So we go out on the field and we talk a little bit, and we get to dinner. And Chrissy said, and see, honey, you thought the last couple of weeks it's just God's not doing anything. But even when we can't see it, God is still doing something. We may not be able to see it. I know I didn't see it over the last couple of weeks, but God is always working. So this characteristic of feasting and the spiritual feasting is really, really important as we are planting those seeds everywhere we go. The next group is characteristics within the body and with others, okay? So here we go. There's a whole lot of fellowshipping that takes place. We had some fellowship yesterday morning around the tables as we were eating donuts and drinking coffee. Then we had some more when we had a little bit of lunch yesterday as we were working. But a whole lot of fellowshipping takes place. And fellowship in the scripture means a gathering together. We just gather together. We may eat. The PB&Js met last night. Did y'all eat last night? Okay, see. Juba, okay, all right. Everybody eats. Okay. So in the movie Field of Dreams, the key phrase was, if you build it, he will come. Okay. If you feed them, they will come to church. Could be another catchphrase. But we have a good time fellowshipping around the tables. And one of my favorite times of the week is Wednesday evening. The ladies and the men have been cooking all day, and we can smell it in the office, and sometimes I get to go in and sample when Miss Katie's not looking, especially the desserts. But we enjoy just gathering around the tables and just sitting and talking and catching up with each other. That's a great part of gathering together and fellowshipping. Gathering together is one of God's primary methods of blessing us, okay? But at the same time, we are encouraging each other, not beating each other down. We are encouraging to each other. And then finally here, we are motivating each other. Where God, through his people, catapults us into the work of the kingdom. Look at what Hebrews 10 says. And this is not on the screen, by the way. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Everything that we do is about encouraging and loving and fellowship and gathering together. We may not discuss anything spiritual, sitting around the tables on Wednesday night. But we are getting to know each other. We are getting to hear stories and getting to know people better. That's what's so great about our Wednesday night activities that we have going on. Moving forward here, there's a whole lot of celebrating that takes place in the church or in the family. Breaking of bread, as we're going to do here in just a moment. It gives us a time for celebration through a couple of things. One, it gives us a time of celebration through self-examination. And we're going to have a self-examination here in just a few minutes as we have communion together. Another way of celebrating is the purging of sin or getting rid of that unwanted sin that we have in our life. And then finally, it is about purifying the church, because the church can't be purified if we're not purified first, because we are the church. Okay? How many here is perfect? Y'all did good on that. All right? How many here sinned this week? Y'all, okay, we have two hands going up in the back. If God's people aren't purified, God's not going to bless his church, and he's not going to bless us individually. That's why we have this thing called mercy and forgiveness that only someone like God could give us. I told the confirmation class a few weeks ago, there is no way that I would allow or tell one of my three children, I'm going to put you on a cross and you're going to die for the sins of the world. So it's probably a good thing that I'm not God because I couldn't do that. Wouldn't take $1 million for any of the three of them. Some days I would give you $5 to take them, Bo. One of the things that we got to remember is God has this mindset and this heart set that he knows what's best for us. And sometimes we think we know what's best for us. That's not the way God's work, because in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, he tells us that his thoughts and his ways are higher than our thoughts and our ways. So we need to rely on God as we're doing all this celebrating. There's a whole lot of praying that goes on inside the church and inside the family, because when we pray, we are invoking two things. One, we are seeking the presence of God, and the other thing through prayer is we are getting and seeing the power of God. I don't know how many times people have asked me, "Preacher, why is God not answering my prayers?" I'm like, well, he may be. Either yes, no, or not now. The yes and the no we have no problem with. We have our answer. But when we get to that point where we are praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and we don't get an answer, I think that's when God is telling us, wait. And we have trouble waiting on God sometimes. That's why we jump into something and then probably mess it up. But when we pray, we are invoking the presence and the power of God. Our final section here is just the characteristics of faith. And everything's taken out of Acts 2, 42 to 47 here. There's a whole lot of wow that takes place. Verse 43 tells us that they were filled with awe in the things that were going on, in the things that God were doing. Kind of like a kid going to Disney World for the first time. It's that wow thing. And we went to Disney last year, and we were talking, and our kids are older, and we were talking about how meticulous everything is at Disney World. There's no trash on the streets. Everything is perfect. You usually do not see people working on stuff. Okay? Well, I bought a biography about Walt Disney. And he stated in there that when he dreamed this park, that ended up being named Walt Disney World, when he was thinking about it and dreaming about it, he said, this is what I want. I want people to come in and have a good time and don't see anybody doing anything. The first time this past year, I saw someone emptying the trash. I had never seen that. I had never heard anybody say they had seen people emptying the trash. But everything's working. Everything is working, and it gives you that wow effect when you walk in the front gates. Kind of like when you walk in here at church. Because when we have that wow factor, we fear the Lord and we anticipate the Lord. Okay, let's talk about if we fear the Lord. When we fear the Lord and we have this wow factor going through our heads and through our hearts, God is going to do something. We are anticipating Him doing something. Well, let me take a little sidebar right here and make the following statement. If you are not being tempted by Satan on a regular basis, he already has you. Okay? If you're not being tempted by Satan on a regular basis, he already has you, which means he's not worried about what you're going to do for the kingdom of God, because he's already got you. That's why we have to fear the Lord. Okay? We don't talk about it. We don't preach about it a whole lot. But Satan is real, and hell is real. And if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's where we're going to end up for eternity. So we have to fear the Lord. But at the same time, we have to anticipate the Lord and what He's going to do for us. A lot of times I may pray, like I did earlier, we're going to thank you now for what you're going to do for us. In this service, in our family life, in our work life, in church life or whatever, we need to anticipate God is going to do something. The only way that we can anticipate that God is going to do something is we have to expect God to be God in the church. We have to expect God to be God in the church. Now, Presbyterians aren't like this. Some of our Baptist friends are. We spend a lot of time and put in a lot of effort to do worship. Okay? Wednesday nights, with everything going on Wednesday nights, we have all of our classes going on up front. We have dinner. Then we have choir practice. And the band comes in at 8 o'clock. And Christy gets home anywhere from 9:30 to 10:30, depending on what's going on. We spend a lot of time preparing for worship. Now, I want to make this statement, and I want you to understand this is coming straight from my heart. No one person or no group in the church is any more important than anybody else. Okay? No one group or any one person is more important than anyone else. If we are allowing God to be God in the church, our song service is fine, the message is fine, but the key to the whole thing is what we do when we go out those doors. A lot of our sister churches have signs on their exits as they are leaving the parking lot that say, you are now entering your mission field as you leave the church. Okay? I believe that this book was given to us not to make us have warm, fuzzy feelings all the time. If you want warm, fuzzy feelings about the Christian life, don't read the book of James, because it will beat you up and beat you down every time you read it. I believe this book was intended for God to reveal Himself to us, point out what we're doing wrong, point out the things that we need to be doing that we're not doing. That's how we allow God to be God in the church. Okay? All right, moving forward here. There's a whole lot of miracles that take place. Okay? And the number one miracle is our salvation and our relationship through Jesus Christ. I saw a big billboard one day that said, "I love the wedding. How about inviting me to the marriage? Love God." I thought, ooh, that's pretty good. So I use that now in premarital counseling. A lot of times we spend so much time wrapped up in preparing for the wedding that we forget to prepare for the marriage. And a whole lot of times we spend a lot of our time sharing the gospel with somebody, and then they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and then we drop them. We don't do anything else with them. Here's where discipleship comes in: Sunday school, youth group, children's ministry, small groups, where we are continuing to cultivate that relationship that we are building with Jesus. Now, another thing here is when the miracles are taking place, individuals are going to be blessed. Okay? 10,000 reasons to praise the Lord is just the very teeniest, tiniest tip of the iceberg. The first pastor I served under at Roper Mountain Baptist in Greenville, whenever we would sing the song Amazing Grace, the last verse says, when we've been there for 10,000 years, every single time we would sing that song, he would come up and he would stop the music. He would put his arm around the minister of music, and he would remind us every time we would sing verse 5 of Amazing Grace, 10,000 years is just the beginning of praising God. So then we would go back and sing it again and take out 10,000 years and put in forevermore, because that's how long we're going to be there when we've been there forevermore praising God and doing the things that we do. We are blessed because of our relationship in Jesus Christ. And when individuals are getting blessed, then the church is getting blessed with everything that we have going on. Everything is good. The individuals are being blessed and the church is being blessed. And finally, in the family and in the church, one of the characteristics that I think is, all of these are important, but I think this is the most important, because we are sharing. We are sharing stuff. We are sharing each other's burdens. We are sharing each other's praises. We are sharing each other's worries and doubts and fears. I spent about 4.5 hours up on a ladder yesterday, and I don't do good with ladder fell. That's what it was. I don't do good with heights, and I don't do good with ladders. And so when you put those two together, I'm not at my most comfortable position. And so the whole time I was praying is that I wouldn't fall, and then Chris would have to preach today. And Chris said, "Well, I hope it's on stewardship, because that's the only sermon that I've ever preached." And I said, "Well, it's not on stewardship, but one of the things that we do is we share each other's burdens. And we share each other's praises." And the bottom line is that spiritual unity produces practical oneness. Spiritual unity produces practical oneness, where we are sharing with each other and sharing with those in need. You have, since it's the first Sunday of the month, the CF and CM tithe envelope, okay? The first Sunday of each month, we take up money to help those in the community. God has blessed us beyond measure, okay? We have homes, we have food, we have clothes, we have friends, we have family. God has blessed us. There's a lot of people in our area that don't have this stuff. So we are able to help. We are sharing what we have with those around us, just like the people did in Acts 2. Now, I'm not telling you to go sell all of your possessions and all of your goods and give them to the church or give them to the poor or whatever, but I am telling you that we need to follow the example of Acts 2 because spiritual unity produces practical oneness. And everything that we have going on in our hearts and going on in our life, and we're on the roads running back and forth and doing this and doing that, God is waiting to bless us. And sometimes we need to slow down and listen to what He's having to say to us so we don't miss out on those blessings. Let's pray. Father, we ask You right now to take our time of worship as we continue here, and that You will remind us about the characteristics that we have talked about this morning, and that You will remind us of what we need to be doing as we continue to walk down this journey that You have given us called the Christian life, and our family life, and our work life, and our community life. God, everywhere we go, we see people in need. We see people who have problems, and we want You to point those out to us, and we want You to help us help them. But at the same time, God, we need to remember, I have a problem, and that problem is me. We can't fix other people, but You can. And we can't help other people get fixed until You fix us. So we ask You right now that You will fix us. And we're going to praise You now for what You're going to continue to do for us. In Your name we pray. Amen.